Cornelius's conversion and some important truth to learn from that conversion. The question was asked, and the question was asked dealing with God responding to his prayer. Of course, what the text, teaches, is that he prayed so consistently that his prayer became a memorial. A memorial means memory. That's the concept in the word memorial as used there, our remembrance. A memorial is for that reason. Wherever a memorial is built, it is built to remember. And that's the same concept where in respect to Cornelius's prayer. His prayer accumulated, built up, and it sought to remind the Almighty God that this man have been seeking. You know, anyway, I'm going to start tonight's discussion with asking one of the brothers to read for us Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. You must be wondering, oh, I'm talking about Cornelius and gone to Solomon. Let us hear the passage.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
With all your getting, make sure you do not misunderstanding. That's important instruction. With all you, what you're going to get, and that is talk about spiritual or religious thing, the wise man said, make sure you get understanding. And that instruction is especially relevant to the subject of Cornelius's conversion. A lot of emphasis will be put on understanding the miracles surrounding Cornelius's conversion. In fact, not just Cornelius' conversion. You have the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. You have the conversion of Saul. The Ethiopian eunuch is in Acts 8. You have the conversion of Saul in Acts 9. And you have the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10. Watch here now and get this. In all three conversions, we see miracles. You know, we live in the age where men and women are hungry for miracles. So much so that religious leaders are creating fraudulent miracles. Everybody today is performing miracles, and yet none is being performed today. You see, but it is the hunger. I remember years ago when men like Oral Roberts used to come with the big tent. The way they advertise it is, come, expect a miracle. Somebody going to be healed. But all the people who came to be healed went back without being healed. I was pointing out to Sister Ellis in our discussion, she was baptized today. In our discussion, we had discussed miracle. And I said to her, notice wherever you go and these preachers tell that they can do miracle, always notice this. If 10 or 20 or 30 people come to be healed, you may have one, two, or three claim that they are healed. But you always have the majority return to their home, usually worse than they came. Worse in at least feeling disappointed. Watch here now. What I ask the now sister, that time she was a prospective convert, to notice nobody since the time of the Church of Christ being established on Pentecost, no one ever came to the apostle to be healed and turned back. You can investigate this. I'm going to repeat it. Do a research. After Pentecost, no man or woman, group of men, group of women, or a mixed audience ever came to the apostles of Christ to be healed. And some were healed and some turned back. One was healed and no, you don't have that. If 20 came to be healed, all 20 were healed. Wait, you never hear the apostle make the excuse that the person didn't have faith. That is blaming the lack of healing on the person who wants to be healed. You don't hear Jesus Christ ever making that excuse, and you don't hear the apostle of Jesus Christ making that excuse. Understanding. In all you're getting, get understanding. Now, it just came to me, I need to point this out. When we ended the lesson last week on the three different measures or manifestation of the Holy Spirit, may I repeat that? Because as Christian, God expects you to know the three different manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The three different manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We pointed out one, the baptismal measure. Only the house of Carnel, only the apostles of Christ. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. The apostles of Christ only and the house of Cornelius receive that measure. One, the baptismal. The baptismal measure. The baptismal measure. Two, the miraculous measure. Three, the indwelling measure. Throughout the entire New Testament, especially beginning from us, these are the three manifestations that you are going to see. This one is not for people today. Only the apostles of Christ and the house of Cornelius. This one is not given to anyone today, because the miraculous measure was given by the laying on of the apostles' hand, enabling the person on whom the apostle laid their hand to do miracles, speak in other languages, etc., etc. The miraculous measure. So no one today, well, this measure is not available today. Why? Is it because God is unable to? It has nothing with what God can or cannot do. It has to do with the fact that the Almighty God's plan was that this serve only during the first few decades of Christianity, during the time of the apostles. So nobody today have this, because only the apostles of Jesus Christ could lay their hands and impart this measure. The indwelling measure, now this is available today. This is given to Christians. All men and women who became Christian the right way. Notice this now. There are two passages you must keep in mind. Two passages. Very important passages. What did Solomon say again? In all thy getting, get understanding. Two passages. One of them is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. The other one is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. You can mark in the back of your Bible these two passages. Why are they so important? These two passages, they tell us that miraculous ability or sign and wondrous belong to the apostle. And you need to remember that. When any man or woman anywhere come claiming that they can do something simply because they saw them done by the apostle, make sure you understand, because these two passages are not hard to be understood. When you turn to 2 Corinthians 12, 12, Paul trying to show to the Corinthians that the falsehood they had gotten through some false teachers there in the church, wanting to claim that Paul was not an apostle. See, that's the background out of which 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 was written. You have men in the church, especially those who wanted the Christian to still embrace the law of Moses, and Paul was strong against that. So they became enemies of Paul and was telling the church that Paul is not a true apostle like Peter and the rest. Listen, Paul, now in 2 Corinthians 12, 12.
Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience.
Now get this. If every preacher could do those signs, they would not be sign of an apostle. If those things that the apostle could do could be done by every Christian, it would make no sense Paul talking about signs of an apostle. The only way what the brother has read make any sense, it's because there are some things that this group of men called the apostles of Christ could do that no other Christian could do then. That's the only way that this makes sense. There are some things that they truly the signs of an apostle, meaning was wrought by me among you in all power and whatever. But Paul, that doesn't prove you're an apostle. Brother such and such in the church here at Corinth can do that. Brother such and such can do that. Sister such and such can do that. Now, Paul's argument would be destroyed. That's right. But because only an apostle could do certain miraculous things, that's how comes this of meaning. The signs which belong to an apostle, I Paul did them. You see, and that, wait. It also takes for granted that the church at Corinth understood that there are some things the apostle could do that no other Christian could do. That's how comes this makes sense to the Corinthians. No other person could do it. And may I? When you touch in Acts chapter 2, I didn't plan to go there, but it just come to me. Find the verse there, and by the hands of the apostle,
verse 43.
Yeah.
And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Were done by whom?
By the apostles.
By the apostles. And when we read in other passages, in chapter 4 or 5, we are told again that by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done. May I also, when we read passage like Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, we get the idea that no Christian in that congregation had any miraculous power. So in verse 11, Paul said, I long
to see you,
that
I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts.
Brother Mitchell, why spiritual gift have to wait on Paul? They were faithful Christian there, because that power was vested in the apostles of Christ. So that's why Paul is implying when he comes there, one of the things he's going to do for them is give them some spiritual gift. Only an apostle could do those things. Okay, so we have this, signs of an apostle, referring to miracles. As I brought your attention also to Hebrews chapter 2, and we want only verse 4. In fact, if you want, you can read verse 3 and 4 to get a side type of background. Let us hear it.
How shall we escape?
If we
neglect so great salvation.
That salvation.
So great salvation.
It began to be spoken.
By the Lord.
By the Lord.
And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Remember too that right in this chapter 2, we get more than one idea that it was not written by Paul. What the brother has just read there indicate that. The writer is indicating that he got his information secondhand. Somebody informed him or taught him. That couldn't be Paul. Because Paul claim the very opposite. So the writer in Hebrew says, start again.
How shall we escape?
How shall we escape?
if we neglect so great salvation,
this salvation which is so great,
which at the
this
first,
salvation that is Christianity began to be spoken
by the Lord,
by the Lord,
and was confirmed unto us,
and was confirmed unto us
by them that heard him.
Brother, the them that heard him is referring to the apostles. The writer is saying, I got the truth I'm sharing with you from them that heard Christ. Paul claimed the opposite, that he wasn't taught by any human being in that way. The Almighty God revealed the truth to him. Paul was converted by a human being. But that his confrontation or encounter with Jesus Christ is how he became an apostle, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The writer did not say, by us that heard him. That's a different thing, you know. Them that heard him and by us that heard him are two different things. The statement made there mean is telling us that the writer himself did not hear Christ, but Paul heard Christ. Paul was confronted personally by Christ. Read on.
God also bearing them witness.
Again, God not bearing us witness.
Bearing them.
This is very striking and instructive. It's not that God bear us witness. Well, God bear Paul witness with miracle. That's Paul's contention in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 and other places. That the Almighty God bear witness that Paul was from Christ, preaching Christ's word, and he was a true apostle. How did God bear him witness? With the miracle. That's what Paul here called signs of an apostle. Those miraculous wonders which only a true apostle can do. Paul said, I did them. So God bear him witness. So when he said, God bearing
them witness,
then the writer is referring to people outside of himself.
Self.
The them here refer to the apostle. So these two passages is telling us, these two passages are telling us that there are things the apostles of Christ could do that no other Christian can do. Now, write them down. Cornelius. The baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit experienced by the household of Cornelius was not to prove that Cornelius was already saved. Learn and learn this well, because sooner or later, and I think sooner, you're going to meet up with some religious person who want to show you that Cornelius was saved. That's why he was given this power, miraculous baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. It was not for that purpose. And I repeat, the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit given by God to the household of Cornelius was not to prove that he was already saved. How do we know that he was not saved? From the testimony of the man Cornelius and of the apostle of Jesus Christ. When he got the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, he was still in his sin, still need to be cleansed. In fact, he still, notice here, Cornelius at that time had not been taught. He had not been taught, one, about Jesus Christ. That's right. Cornelius didn't know much about Jesus Christ at that time. Truly. That he had to believe in Christ and confess Christ's name when he got the baptismal measure. Two, he knew nothing about he must repent and be baptized. So this is why we have chapter 11, verse 4. Let us hear it. Acts.
But Peter.
In fact, let us hear chapter. Okay, read it.
But Peter rehearsed these matters from the beginning.
Peter was reporting back to brethren in the church at Jerusalem who were Jews. And who want to take issue with Peter for having been in the house of a Gentile and eat with them. What he said?
And expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision.
Where are you?
Chapter 11, verse 4. And 5.
Okay. I think it's chapter, is verse 14. Can any forbid what? No.
That is 10.
Who shall tell thee words whereby must be saved? You can read from verse 13.
And he shewed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa.
Notice here. Right here we are seeing a miracle, you know. What is the miracle? An angel coming and giving the man direction. That's an extraordinary thing. That's one of the miracles that is associated with the conversion of Cornelius. We are going to show you a few more. Yes, so an angel coming and instructing Cornelius, that is an angel of God, that Cornelius should do what?
Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved.
May I? So you need to understand this. Solomon says, with all your getting, get understanding. What the passage is implying, Cornelius was not saved until after he obeyed the teaching that Peter gave him. Remember, it was while Peter was teaching him that the Almighty God send the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit on him. Watch here. Peter did not finish speaking. So it was after Peter saw the demonstration of God giving the Gentile the Holy Spirit, the baptismal measure, Peter asked the question to those who had come with him, Can any forbid water that thee should not be baptized? What Peter was saying, I'm going to baptize this man. Any of you have any objection? After seeing what we have seen here now? So even when he got that baptismal measure, the man wasn't saved. Because Peter had not yet completed his message. So the baptismal measure was never given to him to prove that he was saved. He was still in need of hearing the word and understanding the part that Jesus Christ played in man's salvation. Cornelius had not heard this before. And he must, that was imperative. In the case of Cornelius' conversion, the Almighty God used different miracles. Are we all there? In order, these miracles also serve the purpose. One of the miracles, are we all there, was the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. When the apostle received the baptismal measure and the day of Pentecost, that was a miracle. Where just out of the blue, they were speaking other languages. That's a miracle. But at Cornelius' house, it was employed by the Almighty God. Are we all there? To establish once and for all time and all people that the Gentiles are to be saved on the terms and conditions of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not on the terms and condition of the law. That's one of the main purpose for which we see some of these miracles. Not to prove to the Gentiles who were prospective converts at this time, but to prove to the Jews who followed Peter and to Peter himself that the Gentiles will have nothing to do with the law in their salvation. They'll have to obey the gospel. Of course, same applied to the Jews. The miracles in his conversion, get this, the miracles in Cornelius' conversion were not essential to salvation. That's very important. If those miracles which we see, wait, you say miracles, Brother Mitchell. Yes, there were many. Cornelius was given a vision. That vision itself is a miracle. Where supernatural heavenly being come down and give you instruction how to find a person. Wait. Not how to be saved. That's very important. I'll be addressing that in a few minutes. Not how to be saved, but how to find the preacher or teacher. Miracles were implied. The angel coming to the man in the vision, that was a miracle. The angel telling him, the name of the person whom he need to find. That was a miracle. The angel telling him where Peter was staying. That was a miracle. The angel telling him the name of Peter's host. The angel telling him the profession. All these details by an heavenly being was miracle. But may I? they were not essential to the man's salvation. What was essential to the man's salvation was hearing the elementary truth of the gospel. The first principle of the gospel, including that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he died at Calvary cross for you, etc. Those are essential. Watch here. If the miracles we see at Cornelius' house, had they been essential for salvation, every prospective convert would have to experience those miracles. That's right. But they were not essential to salvation. Notice that the angel look at chapter 10, verse 3. Quick.
He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him.
Wait, an angel of God coming in to him. That's a miracle. But may I? Notice this. There is no weird that indicate that the angel bring him words that his sins were forgiven. Nowhere there. You don't see any hint of that. You see, wait. What I'm preparing you for is when people run to this passage to prove to you that Cornelius was saved before he was taught by Peter. He was not, even with the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit. Because that measure was given not so much for Cornelius' sake, but for the Jews' sake. How do I know? I'm running ahead of myself. But this is the way Peter used it. When Peter relate this experience, it was always that when they saw that they were convinced. And that's the purpose for which God meant it. Yes. So the angel did not bring Cornelius word that his sins are forgiven. The angel did not, when the angel left, he did not leave Cornelius rejoicing that he had been forgiven of his sin. No. When the angel left, he left a message for Cornelius to send for the preacher who would tell him words how he's going to be saved, indicating that he, at that time, was not saved. Note that in, there are three of them, but note that in another intervention of an angel, get this now, to secure the conversion of another sinner. This is stated in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and verse 26. Let us hear it. Quick.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying,
May I? Many of you will not see the importance of this lesson, but you know what? Lot of men and women reading this, they are expecting angel to appear to them too. That's the challenge we face. That's why lessons like this is so important, that you understand it. Most men and women, all those in denomination, in preachers and all, when they read this, they expect angel to appear to them and to tell them when to become a Christian. And some of them expect the angel to tell them which church to become a Christian in. If the angel going to tell them anything, the angel going to tell them the church. God, the angel knows that Christ has only one church. You see. So here we have, this is another case, you know, and I'm just using it as an illustration, that here is another heavenly intervention of angel, and it was for the same purpose, to secure the conversion of another sinner. But notice this, in both cases, that is this one, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 following, and Cornelius' situation, in both cases, the angel appearance, the angel's appearance in both cases in Cornelius, angel appear. In the Ethiopian nobleman's case, angel appear. In both cases, the angel appearance serve the same purpose. But Brother Mitchell, probably are two different angels. That might be. Or it might be the same angel. That's not what I'm dealing with here. I'm saying when the angel appeared to Cornelius and when the angel appeared to the Ethiopian nobleman, both appear as the angel being served the same purpose in each case. And you know what purpose they serve? To get the prospective convert and the preacher together. That's right. No other purpose. The Almighty God in heaven knew that here is a man seeking to serve him. The preacher that he had around the place, they didn't know that there is a man at a specific place who want to hear the truth. The man didn't know that there are God of few people scattered around. At that time, there were not many preachers, and their time was preoccupied. Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, didn't know that God have some people around that can teach him the truth. Watch here, watch here. Cornelius and his own end up going to the wrong place. Not Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch. That's right. End up going to worship with the Jews. But watch here, there was nobody in the Jewish synagogue to teach the man the truth, because those in the Jewish synagogue didn't know the truth. So the Almighty God miraculously provides somebody to teach the Ethiopian eunuch. That was miraculously done. For an angel to appear to either Cornelius or the Ethiopian eunuch, that is a miracle. But remember, in both cases, it was to bring the sinner and the preacher together. Now, this I find interesting and instructive. My God, God took so much interest in these sinners, sending angels to talk to them. The angel knows more truth than all of us, all Christians put together then or now. Why the angel don't just teach them? That is not the angel's prerogative. That is not the angel's responsibility. And I leave, well, not leave, because you may think me a finish. As the sister said, when you come to visit me, don't tell me that you come to look for me. Because I'm not lost. You look for people who are lost. Tell me you come to visit me. That's Sister Francis. I said, you know, she has a point. I come to look for you. Am I lost? Yes. So as I've said, that the angel responsibility is not to teach anyone. And I was on the point that you should note this. No heavenly being, no angel has ever converted any man or teach any man or woman. Research that. Read from Acts of the Apostles to Revelation. You will not find one case. Are we all there? Where an angel ever come and sit down and teach and convert any man or any woman. Never. 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 Why? That's not angel. That's not the responsibility that God gives angel. May I also point out something? And God does not want the angel to take over flesh and blood responsibility. So this is why we have 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Let us hear it.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Read again.
We have this treasure.
What is the treasure under consideration there? The gospel. The Holy Spirit in Paul is telling the Corinthians and us that it is vested in earth and vessel. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Flesh and blood. Angels are not earthen vessels. They are heavenly vessels. We are still, in spite of being Christian, we are still earthen vessels. We are flesh and blood. So the gospel is vested in us. That's why angels never teach and convert any man or woman. Here we have three conversions before us. In all three cases, Brother Mitchell, you mentioned only two. Okay, I'm going to include Paul's conversion in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, from verse 4 to verse 6. But we will not read that now. In all three conversions, are you all there? You have angel intervening in two, Jesus Christ intervening in one, that is Paul. But watch here. Jesus Christ personifies the gospel. Christ is the gospel. And yet, when he intervened in Paul's case, Jesus Christ did not say, Paul, no, notice this, you have been persecuting the church. You have been wrong. I know you sincerely did what you did, but you were wrong. You were ignorant. Here, Paul, this is what you are to do. I'm Jesus the Christ. Hear the print of the nail in my hand still. You know what you are to do, Paul? You must believe that I'm the Christ. And here I'm showing you my hand. And you must repent of your sin and you must confess my name. No, Jesus Christ didn't know such thing. Jesus Christ said, you know what? In the same way you need to be straightened out, go on a street called straight. Jesus Christ didn't say that. But he sent him on a street called straight. And Jesus Christ said, you will be told there what you are to do. Watch here now. In Paul's case, angelic supernatural being appear both to the prospective convert Paul or Saul and to the preacher Ananias. And you know why? Remember, that's a miracle. When Ananias got the word that he should go at a particular place and he will see Paul praying, that was a miracle. But the purpose of these miracles are the same, to get the prospective convert and the preacher together. Never forget that. It was not to prove that in every conversion, God going to send miracle to you and send angel to you. And you must help people understand that. It was to get them together. May I? Supernatural intervention never supersede the human element. Never. Angel or any other supernatural being, if there any, never takes the place or carry out the work that God gives human being to do. There are some more things I need to point out here about God's intervention in bringing the truth seeker together and the preacher, the truth seeker and the preacher. In closing, brothers and sisters, it might run through the minds of some of you how God helps people to meet the right teacher. Is God doing that today? Yes. Yes. But not miraculously. He's doing it providentially. That is, God is working behind the scenes. Huh? Sister Ellis, who was baptized this morning, about a vacation Bible school that was going on here in August. She sent her little son, and then he went home and told his mother about the VBS.